The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Your Nashville Predators did pretty well last night.
Every once in a while, I can watch the Stanley Cup Finals. I just have no vested interest in any teams that are normally playing playoff hockey. But now that I have a team that I want to win, it's kind of exciting to watch.
I've always been told that playoff hockey can't be beat as far as intensity goes. And to that, all I can say is I watch Game 7s when they happen. We live in the South. It's football country. Maybe that would all be different if Houston had an NHL team, but they don't.
We talked a lot about Bill O'Brien, and he says that Deshaun Watson is doing everything right.
I believe that, and I believe that is a factual statement. He said the exact same thing about every other quarterback he's had in that room. Just because I believe him this time doesn't make him any more correct than he was wrong when he was trying to tell us that Ryan Mallett was so good, and Brian Hoyer was so good, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was so good, and Case Keenum was so good, and on and on and on.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Craig Koshkin filling in for Fred Fowler here on The Blitz. A.J. Hoffman here in studio with me. Before we get into the next segment, I need to tell you about Snowfall. On July 5th, FX is premiering a new original series, Snowfall. To get you ready for the new series, executive producer John Singleton wants to send you and a guest on a four-day, three-night trip to L.A. You'll attend the world premiere screening and see how crack began when Snowfall premieres. Listen each day for your chance to qualify to be in the grand prize drawing. You could be on your way to L.A.
All right. I'm excited about that show.
It seems like it'd be interesting. FX has great programming.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Their original shows are usually very solid.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to, like, The Shield, which I didn't watch,
yeah.
But I was told it was great. Sons of Anarchy.
Yep.
Fantastic.
I watched The Americans still. That's a good show.
My wife watched that for the longest, and then she got behind and chose to stop watching it.
Okay.
At that point.
So. Yeah, it's a good show. It's worth catching up on. I watched the Fred's not here to talk about it. Yesterday he told me I need to watch the finale, the series finale of The Leftovers, which I did, and we would discuss it, but I'll have to wait till tomorrow.
But I sabotaged his air conditioning so I could come on
yeah.
and make that wait another day.
Good call by you.
Yeah.
Let's take a couple calls on the HR&P listener line. Let's try Caleb. Sports Caleb.
Hey, guys. So I have a friend that truly thinks Clay Thompson could be a number one option on almost any other team. And while I don't think he could be on any other team, I want to see what you guys think about that. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
On any other team?
I think he could be the number one option on another team, but not on many.
Based on the distribution of elite players in the league, there's probably half the teams he could be the number one guy. But he's not going to Oklahoma City and being the number one guy, or San Antonio, or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers, yes, but the Clippers, no. He's not going to Indiana he's not taking over for Paul George there. He could probably go to Boston. That's one really good team where he could go be the number one guy.
I mean, who's the best player in Atlanta? Dennis Schroeder?
Oh, he could go to Atlanta. Orlando, for sure.
Brooklyn, it's like, I mean.
Do they still have a team in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I think Rondae Hollis Jefferson is maybe their best player. Maybe Brooke Lopez, who isn't going to be there anymore.
I mean, they just lost their number one pick, and they're going to lose the same number one pick next year when they're the worst team in the league.
I mean, what about Dallas?
Maybe Nerlens.
I mean, let's not act like Dirk is still somehow.
I was going to say Nerlens Noel, but still, yeah, okay, he'd probably go to Dallas. But, I stand by my original statement. About half the teams he could go and be the guy, but the other half, he's
going to
be number
less than
two.
Half. I think it's maybe like you could probably do between five and six, somewhere around there. I don't know that he wouldn't be the number one option for the Lakers.
I think he would.
Yeah, I think there's a few teams. I think that You know, for the most part, no. He can't just go into any old team and be the number one guy. There's no way.
It's not like that team's going to be any good anyway.
No, it would continue to be. And most of these teams we're talking about are bad teams, and they would continue to be bad teams.
Well, and if Klay Thompson is drawing your number one defender night in and night out, he's not going to get the open looks he gets at Golden State either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't see how he's not a plug and play number one at all.
What about Phoenix? He'd be the best player on Phoenix, wouldn't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
Utah next year he'll be the best player because Gordon Hayward is going to be gone.
There's a handful of teams. Orlando is one, but no, it's not like every other team in the NBA.
I mean, he can't even go to Charlotte. Kemba Walker is still probably.
I mean, I think that's a debatable one, Kemba Walker. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not like and listen, the Hornets aren't like a great team either.
That's my point.
So, yeah. I'm a Klay Thompson fan, but if Klay Thompson's your best player, you're a horrible team. If Klay Thompson's your fourth best player, you're fantastic. If Klay Thompson's your best,
you're big issues. Minnesota Timberwolves with Kevin Love. That's what you are.
That's what you
are. If Klay Thompson is your best player, you're that team.
Let's talk to Alex. What's up, Alex?
Hey, great show, guys. Everybody always talks about how Golden State couldn't play with the 96 Bulls because the rules were different and they were locked down defenders in the 90s. Well, I agree with that. I believe that is true. But I also think that if the 96 Bulls tried to come play Golden State in today's rules, 36 threes in six games shooting 26% is not going to win you the finals against Golden State. In two games, Golden State has 30 threes and shooting 40%. So it all depends on what era you play in. The teams are built for the era they play in. And that's my opinion on it.
All right. I agree.
I think that's completely fair take on the situation.
If the rules today were the same as they were then, I mean, I don't think the Warriors would be built the way that they are.
It's no secret that in the 90s, fouls that were commonplace then would be flagrants that got you ejected now.
Yeah.
That's not a secret. So Jordan had it tougher physically in the league and through the Eastern Conference than the Eastern Conference is now. But Jordan's Bulls teams never once played any team in the finals built like this Warriors team.
No, never.
Jordan's greatest obstacles were getting through the Eastern Conference, not necessarily in the finals themselves.
I don't know that there's been another. Is there another team even in the discussion in the last 30 years of who else other than this Warriors team can you put in that conversation with the Bulls team?
If you want to say 30 years, you get the late part of the Showtime Lakers and maybe. But outside of that, and that's just a maybe. The Bulls and the Warriors are, as the Warriors are currently constructed, the two best run franchises and best put together teams in that 30-year time span you're referring to.
Yeah.
It's really not even close.
I think that Shaq, Kobe, Lakers team might have a shot.
No way.
I think so.
Mark Madsen was getting legitimate minutes with that team.
Yeah, I just can't picture it. Not against that squad. I mean,
Well, you also have to consider the fact, if you're playing in the early 2000s, how brutal it was trying to get points.
Yeah, but it was also
rules and all that.
It was also just a horrible NBA.
It was.
Like, who are Kobe and Shaq beating that was so great?
The Sacramento Kings were about it.
Yeah. I mean, and they got taken to the limit with the Sacramento Kings, the Chris Webber-led Sacramento Kings.
Jason Williams, the great white hype.
Yeah, there's no way.
The Rasheed Wallace Trailblazers were also pretty good in that time period.
Rasheed Wallace Trailblazers?
Yeah. Were pretty good in that time period.
Yeah. I mean, and then, I don't. I guess that's pre-Spurs dynasty. And I don't think any of those Spurs teams, even when they had Robinson and Duncan at the same time, I don't think are beating this Warriors team.
They were about the same time. Duncan's run came a little later, but Shaq was still on the Lakers.
Didn't Robinson retire in 99 after they won one championship? They won that strike-shortened season where they played the 8-seed Knicks in the finals. So one thing I hate about this argument is that we always say, well, let's pull the Warriors back to how they played. Well, what if
you get brought up to how they play now?
How they play now?
Yeah, and Dennis Rodman's getting kicked out of basically every single game.
Yeah, the Bad Boys Pistons wouldn't make it through a season.
They'd never last.
Yeah, but they would all adjust. Michael Jordan became a much better three-point shooter in the later part of his career because he had to be. And if you look at just his numbers, he shot 1 year, he shot 50% from the three-point line. It's
one thing I do know. There's nobody on any of the, because I'm telling you now, he's the best shooter that's ever lived, that's ever walked this earth. There's nobody who's shooting like Steph Curry does. And if the game is played in today's age, where the three-pointer is the most valuable thing, the Warriors have arguably, if they play the Bulls, maybe you can make an argument for for a Steve Kerr, but I'll probably take the top three guys on the Warriors, Durant and Clay and Steph, over the first guy I'd take on the Bulls shooting the three.
Also, people forget the three-point line was about a foot further in that time, too, which gives Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson just another advantage.
Steph Curry doesn't care where the three-point line is.
That's very true. But the fact that
he doesn't
now
have too many where they have to go back and check the monitor to see if his toe was on the line.
And I do think this is all of a kind of a moot point, because if you do bring those Bulls to this time period, they're built differently. You don't have surrounding players that can't shoot three-pointers. You have to, in this game, in this era, you have to have at least somebody like a Kyle Korver or a Kevin Love that can actually shoot and stretch the floor. Whereas if you're in the 90s, this Warriors team will have much tougher players to go up against a Rodman and a Luke Longley and that kind of physical presence inside.
Of all the things the 96 Bulls or any of those Bulls teams had to face, there was never a 7-foot guy with a 7-foot-2 wingspan who can drive the lane and throw it down on you and back it out to 24 feet and knock down a jump shot.
Yeah, that's not really fair.
Yeah, but I can contest that Scottie Pippen will do a pretty good job on Kevin Durant.
He would probably do a very good job. I mean, he's an all-timer on defense, but you've got two great defensive players to guard three great offensive players.
I want to know
players.
Who's checking Steph Curry on that team.
You don't have to check him per se. You have to make sure that he's not coming off these screens. You have to bump him a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you have to make it difficult for Steph Curry to get easy shots. And that in this series that's going on right now, it's not Steph Curry, but Kevin Durant is getting all those easy shots. Nobody is putting a body on him.
Junk, this is life in general. Steph Curry gets easy shots. He gets open looks.
Not all the time. They did a pretty good job last year on Steph Curry.
An unhealthy Steph Curry.
Right.
I think it's obviously a fair debate to have, but people who revere the 96 Bulls like they are some team that will never be topped.
Well, that's the problem.
And then look at this Warriors team and say, no chance.
How old
you're
are
crazy.
You?
I'm 33.
Yeah, I think there's a certain group of people, and it's mostly people my age and older, my age up to like 45 maybe, that grew up with Michael Jordan being the best player in the world. He was idolized by everyone. He was bigger than the game. And in the heads of most of these people now, it's impossible for anyone to ever be what Michael Jordan was. And I'm with you. I think Michael Jordan's great, but we talked about this earlier with Wayne Gretzky. Michael Jordan's not Wayne Gretzky. He's not so much greater than everyone else who's ever played the game that there can't be a reasonable discussion about.
There's probably a group of five players, three or four at least, that you can have that discussion with Michael Jordan about.
And that's the same reason people are protective of that 96 Bulls team. And I think if the Warriors would have won the championship last year, maybe that team has more of a discussion. I'll take the Bulls 96 Bulls over last year's Warriors team.
Sure,
I think the addition of Kevin Durant just makes too much.
It's a complete
difference.
Game changer in that debate.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about man's best friend. If you can't take your dog for a walk without him trying to attack someone or jump on someone, or he's not responding to your voice when you give him a command. If your pet's out of control in general, take one to Man's Best Friend. I've taken three dogs to Man's Best Friend. They've all had different issues, but that's no big deal because they customize a program for your dog. You tell them, hey, this is the problem I'm having with my dog. That's what they work on. It's really simple, and it's really effective. And I've had great results every time working with Man's Best Friend. They've been doing this for 36 years, training dogs to become better members of the household, good pets, loyal friends. That's what you want. And you got a few more days of this from now until June 10th, which is, I'm not great at math. Today's the 6th. It's like 4 days. If you are military, police, a firefighter, or a teacher, and you want dog training, go to Man's Best Friend. Tell them you heard about it here on ESPN 97.5. 50% off your dog training. It's unprecedented. Our listeners normally get 30% off, and you guys still can get 30% off. But if you're military, police, a firefighter, or a teacher, and you want that 50% off, you've got a few days left to capitalize on it. For more info, log on to mansbestfriend.com. That's Man's Best Friend, the professional difference in dog training.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 97.5.
Welcome back to the Blitz. Craig Koshkin filling in for Fred Fowler, AJ Hoffman.
How you feeling? Studio. What's your vibe?
I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. This is fun to me. It's a conversation about sports and other stuff, which are all things that I'm interested in. So it's all good to me. What is your vibe?
I think it's going all right.
Okay, I'll take all right.
All right. We're doing okay here.
I'm
Jong. Is it a disaster? Tell me if it is.
No, I think it's gotten stronger as the show. Ooh.
Okay.
Has gone. Because I think the
chemistry. We started talking about sports, you're saying.
Oh, no, not necessarily. I think you guys are developing. Is this the first time you guys work together?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I think the chemistry is getting better as the show goes on.
I normally
don't even talk to this guy when I see him in the hallway. I'm like, oh, he's one of those podcast guys.
That's about right.
Yeah.
He looks through me.
Yeah.
It's like he's looking past my soul.
Yeah.
But.
Which is very difficult because you're a dense human.
I am a dense human being. I play a lot of basketball. I call myself the Stretch Mark 4.
Okay.
So, you know, that is what it is. We are having a contest to celebrate Snowfall, FX's new show about the introduction of crack into the community. And you, the listener, can win a $25 gift card to Uberito and be entered in the grand prize drawing for a trip to LA for the premiere of Snowfall. Executive producer John Singleton wanted you to be ready for the new FX series, and he is flying you and a guest out to L.A. for a four-day, three-night trip to see the world premiere screening of Snowfall. Along with your round-trip flights, you'll receive a $250 gift card, three nights hotel accommodations to attend the screening Monday night at the Ace Hotel with John Singleton and the cast, plus attend an interactive, immersive event on Sunday. See how crack began when Snowfall premieres on Wednesday, July 5th at 10 on FX. And what number caller do you want to take for that Uberito $25 gift card?
Let's go with caller 12.
All right. Caller 12, you will win a $25 gift card and you will be entered to win the grand prize drawing to LA to see the premiere of Snowfall.
Jonathan Singleton's done some good stuff, man.
I really loved his work on the Astros.
No, different Jonathan Singleton. We discussed that yesterday.
I'm aware. I brought it back up intentionally.
Yep. No, I learned it's the wrong guy. That's the wrong one. It's Boys in the Hood, John Singleton.
Well, the phone lines are not fans of our take on the Warriors
That's
and Bulls.
Okay.
We've got a couple. Let's take, is that Lewis I see?
Looks like Lewis.
Lewis.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing all right. What's up, Lewis? Sports.
Sports to you.
You're beginning with a defense. Bulls played some great denied defense. Harper would probably be denying Curry on Curry. Jordan would be on Thompson. Pippen would be on Durant. And, of course, Rodman would be on Green, which would be very interesting. But their denying help defense that they played would make it a very interesting series.
I'm
saying they will win. It will be real interesting.
Now, I do agree that, you know, it would be an interesting series. I'm not saying, like, the Warriors would suddenly just blitz through that team. That's an all-time great team.
I see a seven-game series if that were to ever be possible. I would see that going in seven games. But if your argument is Ron Harper is going to be able to check Clay, and Ron Harper was a nice player, don't get me wrong, I'll take Clay in that matchup.
Well, the other thing is, you're talking about defense like somehow the Warriors don't play it.
That's true, too.
If you still think that this Warriors team is like they were 3 years ago, where they were just a run-and-gun type team and that this is some sort of D'Antoni offense, you're not watching the games. That is a very, very good defensive basketball team, and everybody gives effort. Draymond Green's the best defensive player in the league. Klay Thompson is one of the best on-ball guards in the league.
Yep.
Kevin Durant now that he's actually able to spend some effort on the defensive end instead of having to, you know,
carry everybody,
carry an
on offensive
offense, team,
yeah.
He's doing a pretty good job defensively. There, I mean, that's a good Iguodala off the bench. I mean, you're talking about a good defensive basketball team. This is not a one-way team like some people try to make it out to be.
Here's the biggest problem for that Bulls team. On offense, your best chance is try and expose Steph defensively. He's guarding Steve Kerr, John Paxson, depending upon which team we're talking about.
Well, Steve Kerr, because we're talking about the 95-96
team. So he's guarding Steve Kerr.
Or Ron Harper, whoever's on the floor.
Either way, both of them are situational players.
Yeah.
They are not going to do anything, and they're not the type of player who you can ISO at the top of the key and ask them to go get you buckets because Steph is a bad defender.
Yeah.
So you can't even expose the weakness of the Warriors' defense.
Well, one thing that can't be stopped, I know, Luke Longley. Luke Longley cannot be stopped.
The Australian assassin?
That's right. Well, I guess we got a couple more calls on this. We'll take some of them on the other side. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
No Fred in the studio. Craig Koshkin here filling in. Your reigning Rock the Mic champion, AJ Hoffman, is here. I'm joining him on his show. Don't want to say it the other way around because that would be wrong and a lie.
Got to complain, maybe. I don't know if I'm complaining. Maybe it's probably for the best. Do you see that they're making a law now in Texas where you have to, like it's illegal now to text and drive?
I saw that.
And drive?
No, I try not to.
What about you, Craig?
I try my best not to. It happens.
I know AJ does.
Oh, habitually.
I took a trip with him to Austin, and he was like driving with his knees and texting.
Yeah,
and
I text and drive all the time.
If my wife's in the car, I can't get away with it. She will. She's not.
My wife always does that. Is there something? Do you want me to do something for you? Can I help you?
I'll let my wife text for me. It's safer. But I try to save. I won't do it on the highway. I try to save any time doing it for at red lights.
Okay. Lamont with some criticism, which he knows I hate. The first hour and a half was complete ass. Turned on 97.9 The Box during traffic. Tuned back in with Jerome Solomon. Better.
So was just Jerome better?
I think so. Okay. I think it was just Jerome.
That's fair.
Definitely not me.
I mean, we did talk Price is Right.
That's true.
And the origin of names.
We talked more off the air about game shows that I would host. But I feel like maybe I'm the only person who cares about me hosting a game show, and none of my audience does. But I want them to care because I want there to be like a groundswell.
This all changes the second you get on Survivor.
I think you're right.
It all changes.
All right, let's talk to Doc. Sports Doc.
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Doing all right, man. What's
doing
up?
Well.
Oh, not a whole lot. Hey, man, I was listening to you guys, man. And let me ask you a question. Are we going by 90s rules or are we going by 2017 rules?
Yeah, that's where I think the debate really... I mean, it could go either way because I know what you're saying. The 90s rules, the Bulls have a better shot, and these rules, the Warriors have a better shot. And I fully agree with that.
Well, because the teams were built based on the rules that were in play. So,
but because see, this is where I go with that is that if we're playing 90s rules, the only person I believe that physically able to withstand a little bit of the punishment, and he would have to hold a physically dominant Rodman would be Green because he's physical now, and I don't think Durant and Curry are as fit. Klay Thompson is physical too; he's a physical player too.
Yeah.
I don't think Klay and Durant are physical. Now they are shooters; they're offensively gifted, but coming off picks, coming off screens, where players are going through. Back then, when we played, we are going through picks. You know, you might set that pick, but you're gonna get something in the rib, something in the gut, letting you know I'm coming through there. So the next two or three times that I'm coming through, that pick kind of slides away a little bit. It ain't set as perfect as it should be. Like today's player, you know, they're able to set the pick and nothing's happening. Players going cheating around it, cheating under. They ain't chasing the guy off the pick, off the line, running him down to help, things like that. So my thing would be is that I think Pippen would match up with a Durant. I think you have, you know, Clay and Jordan matching up with each other. And then you have a Rodman who gets every board, who gets every anything. I mean, you're talking 20, 25 rebounds. I think Rodman averaged like 18.9 rebounds that particular season. That's where I think the difference will become, because when the shots are missed, I don't think Green would be able to out-rebound and out-muscle Rodman. I think that's where you know, the difference would be. And you guys are hitting on a bunch of good points, but I do think, and you all were talking about Steph Curry as well, Ron Harper, you know, now later on in the, not the the Cleveland Ron Harper was a bad boy, but Chicago Ron Harper was a little bit more, he started to go downhill.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Ron Harper at that point was like 10, 11 years in the league. So, I mean, that's not Ron Harper in his prime.
Yeah, that's a 32-year-old Ron Harper.
Yeah.
But he did start 80 of those games in that season.
If I am looking at the matchups, Steph Curry, Ron Harper, I'm taking Steph Curry in that matchup. Jordan versus Clay, I'll take Jordan, of course.
He's pretty good.
Pippen versus Durant is kind of the linchpin for me.
I think Pippen, Durant, and Draymond Rodman.
But Rodman is still giving you zero on offense. Yes, he's making Draymond work when he's on offense, but Rodman is giving you nothing on offense. Scottie Pippen D'ing up Kevin Durant would be interesting, because Scottie Pippen's 6'8 and an all-time great defender. Kevin Durant's still 7 foot with a 7'2" wingspan that can shoot over the top.
I will say, I think you've got to give edge Bulls when it comes to bench play. I mean, Tony Kukoc and Steve Kerr off the bench is pretty strong.
Sure. Is Tony Kukoc that much better than Andre Iguodala right now?
Tony Kukoc that year was like a...
13 points a game.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man, for a
sixth
man.
For a bench player, yeah.
And he's pretty solid. And he was an okay rebounder. He was a decent player.
I agree.
And Iguodala now, like Tony Kukoc, he's probably his mid-20s then. Iguodala's
33.
Yeah. I'll give edge Tony Kukoc there.
The interesting thing about rules from era to era, the one thing, if they played with current rules, Jordan getting free runs at the basket because you can't hand check him becomes a very interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think you can make a debate for either side. But in today's NBA, nobody cares if you get free runs at the basket, because those free runs at the basket are worth 2 points.
And they're going to get three.
Steph draining one
at
the other end is worth three.
Yep.
And it's just math, you know, the end of the day. All right. Well, that's enough of that damn conversation.
Seriously.
I've had enough of it. Enough! Until they can play, until we got a time machine, I'm done.
Well, you can play it on a 2K game.
On what 2K game?
You can buy 2K18 that comes out, and I'm sure you can play that.
Okay. Do you think that... Should we run a simulation?
We could, but that's like months from now.
We can save it, run the simulation, and what are we doing? Best of seven?
Yeah, best of seven.
Okay.
Whatever happens is the final verdict.
Regardless,
that's it.
We're going to go by it. We're going to stand by whatever happens in that series. That's the official answer going forward.
Who gets home court advantage? Well, 72 wins gets home court advantage over 68.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
So we will run that, and then anytime anyone ever asks us or tries to debate it, the answer will be there.
There it is.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. As the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living areas. You can do it with the custom style and quality you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. If you've got a faded pool deck or a grayed out patio or an outdated driveway that you're not wanting to hang out on because it's ugly, get a carved stone overlay. It'll give you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's trialed, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects. They can help you save some money, too. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself that hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay to get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Wednesday on Mike and Mike, PJ Carlissimo and Jeff Van Gundy will preview Game 3 of the NBA Finals as it moves to Cleveland. It's Mike and Mike Wednesday on ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to the Blitz for this final segment. Craig Koshkin filling in for Fred Fowler. AJ Hoffman in studio with me as well.
Do we have an update on Fred's air conditioner?
He hasn't texted me or anything.
Okay. That's too bad.
I might have to go out and re-sabotage tonight.
You might have to.
Much to the chagrin of the listeners.
Well, you were... I'm going to say that you have to take credit for our show being ass for the first hour and a half. And that's a direct quote, ass.
I mean, but if you want me to fall under the bus, I will, as low man on the totem pole. I'm okay with that. But just know I'm doing it as a result of seniority, not because I actually feel that I am the sole cause.
Lamont says, no, I mean, once Jerome came on, the rest of the show got better. So Jerome saved the show today.
Thank you, Jerome Solomon.
I think that's what we needed, was a little bit of soul infused into our show.
That probably, not probably, it definitely helped.
Yeah. So, John, your overall assessment of Craig? Ass or better than ass?
Better than ass. There's a reason why he won Rock the Mic.
Okay.
Undersell and try to over-deliver.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's the goal. And I guess ass was the baseline that I was trying to give. And I've over-delivered on that.
Okay. Yeah, you're greater than ass. Although the first half, ass.
All on me.
That's all on you,
all
bro.
On me. I'll take it.
100% on you. We didn't get to talk much Astros today. They continue to be dominant. They won a Mike Fiers start. That's the second one during the streak, which is, I mean, it's hard enough to do once. They've done it twice now in a row. This team is outstanding. There's not much else to say right now. I mean, they are.
How sustainable is their level of play?
I mean, do I think they're going to win 110, 115 games? No.
If I were to set the total at 103.5, what are you taking?
I'll probably go over.
Okay.
Yeah. I think at this point it's hard not to. I mean, they've been impressive. And the other thing I've learned so far this season is the AL West kind of sucks.
It's really bad.
So if that's going to be the case, then I'll say it's very doable.
The stat that kind of stood out to me today was the Astros are 42-16 through the first 58 games. This is the most wins any team has had since the 2001 Mariners, who went on to win 116 games.
And that's like the record, right?
And they're on pace to do just – that's what – I saw a tweet today. They're on pace to win 116.
Which is – I mean, I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree. But the one thing that is –
King Griffey Jr. and Alex Rodriguez aren't here.
That's true.
But
the one thing you can take some pride in if you're an Astros fan is – the reason I think this is sustainable is they're not being carried by any one person. Up and down the lineup, everybody hits. Everybody hits well enough – to where pitchers don't get free outs up and down the lineup.
In last night's game, I think it's a prime example because the 1-5 hitters didn't do much, went 4 for 21. But the 7-8 hitters, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs from last night. So up and down that lineup, it's pretty good. And they lead the AL in runs, hits, homers, batting average, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, and OPS.
Just those categories. Yeah. That's it. They're the best team in baseball, and there's a pretty big gap before you get to team number two right now. It's also June 6th.
Yes.
I
So let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet.
I like this team and their ability to win a World Series, especially if they go out and get one more arm. But I'm also not taking them against the field in the early part of June.
Hey, Joe, there's a lot of people who got mad at me yesterday for something I said on the show.
Uh-oh.
I kind of want to get your thoughts on it.
What'd you say?
When I said yesterday I would trade Carlos Correa for a World Series title, is that a crazy thing to say?
No.
Is there any player that you would say, like, oh, I won't trade that guy if I can, if it could guarantee me a World Series?
No. I would trade anybody.
No one is off limits when it comes to winning a World Series.
And it's different in other sports. In other sports, in football, a quarterback is it's everything. So
why are you catching so much flack for this?
I don't know. I guess people were upset.
People don't realize how great
Carlos Correa is going to be, which I do. I think he's going to be great. But I would trade him in a heartbeat for a World Series. I'd trade Jose Altuve if I knew it would guarantee me a World Series. Basketball is also different because one guy can – a LeBron James-type player can win you multiple titles.
Baseball is such a different thing because we've seen it time and time again, a guy who just has it and then loses it out of nowhere.
Well, and baseball is also – there's so many guys on a team. And, you know, being one hitter out of nine, you can only – Mike Trout's the best player in the game, unequivocally. Mm-hmm. He has no World Series titles.
Hadn't sniffed it, really.
No. I mean, his team's actually pretty bad.
Yeah,
over the last few years. So,
to those getting mad about Carlos Correa, if Mike Trout was an Astro, would you trade Mike Trout for a World Series? Take the emotion out of it.
I would trade Mike Trout for a World Series if I were the Angels.
The people who are sticking to this Carlos Correa, why would you trade him, are clearly emotionally attached in some manner.
Well, he's on their team.
Exactly.
Now, I'll throw this at you. Remember last year when you threw out, I would trade Alex Bregman for Chris Sale? You know how many Astros fans got
mad
at that?
People were so angry about that.
Yeah, yeah. And now you look, the Astros are the best team in baseball. But
if they had Chris Sale,
they'd be a lock.
We'd be sizing rings for these guys.
Yeah,
yeah. I completely agree. Mike Fiers doesn't get starts if Chris Sale is the next pitcher on this team.
There's no worry about what we've got to trade for at the deadline because it's already done.
Yeah.
You would have the two best pitchers in baseball on your team.
Yeah.
And that's hard to beat come playoff, or at least the two best pitchers in the American League on your team.
And then, well, you're also talking about adding maybe a Garrett Cole or a Chris Archer.
Maybe you do
still.
And then you can go four deep in the playoffs, and Lance McCullers pitches game four of a series for you.
That's pretty strong.
Your money.
Yeah.
Your money.
Who wants to face one of Chris Sale or Dallas Keuchel three times in a seven-game series?
But, we see this from every fan base when we're talking about like an Aaron Brooks or a Carl Landry back in the day, when you're talking about trading those guys to upgrade, people lost their minds.
Dude, I'll go up and down the list in baseball. Barry Bonds, zero World Series rings. Ken Griffey Jr., zero World Series rings. Baseball players, they're one out of nine on the field. They bat once. They bat maybe three times a game.
And they make an impact on defense. If you're a shortstop, 12 times a game, maybe.
And it's, you know, there's some guys, and maybe I should put a caveat to it. If you're a team like the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cubs and you've got unlimited budget, you don't have to trade a player for a World Series because
you'll buy the next one.
You can buy one. You can buy a World Series. Yep. The Astros don't have the option of buying one.
Agreed.
So if you told me today, and again, it's a totally hypothetical thing, which makes it even more ridiculous that people got upset with me about it. But if you told me today I could trade Carlos Correa away for some magical player that would guarantee me a World Series, I wouldn't even think twice about it. And if Carlos Correa went on with that other team to win three World Series, I wouldn't care. Because they would have had to put another team around him. He didn't do it by his damn self. I mean, you got to build a team around these guys. And I got my ring anyway, so I do it.
In all of sports, there is no one untouchable if it guarantees me a ring.
Yes.
In all of sports.
And more particularly, the way this conversation started was with prospects. So there's especially not anybody playing AAA or down in Corpus Christi that is so untouchable that I can't trade them for a guy who gives me a much better shot to win this year.
If there is a guy that someone thinks is in AA or AAA right now that is untouchable, whose roster spot are they taking?
Well, that's the question.
The name, who, I'm sorry, the name that was thrown out consistently was Kyle Tucker. And people didn't want to trade him because he's the next Mike Trout, apparently.
He's not Mike Trout. Listen, first of all, he's not Mike Trout. And even if he is, Kyle Tucker ain't helping this team in 2017. You can have Kyle Tucker, Preston Tucker. You can have their dad and their stepmom. You give me somebody who helps this team this year, I'll take that. Because there's too many times there's been a Jonathan Singleton or a Brett Wallace or a, you name them, or a Colin McHugh, who everyone thinks is going to be so great. And then it turns out, no.
McHugh is the equivalent of the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you don't get Savage. To see him, you assume he's going to be the guy that's the savior.
All right. That's Craig Koshkin. Thanks for filling in today, man. Where can I hear your podcast?
Podcastarena.com/sideline.
Sideline is the name of the podcast. All right. Thank you. Thank you for filling in today.
Fred should be back
tomorrow if he's got an air conditioner. Thanks to John. Good job today. Thanks for all the callers, the people who interacted on Twitter. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Stay sportsy, kids.
ESPN 97.5.